Thanks for listening to the St. George in the Pines Sermon Podcast. We're taking a short break from our summer series, Wisdom Lived in the Spirit, to welcome a guest preacher, Archbishop Greg Kerwilson. How much of your life happens on autopilot? How many moments has God been at work right in front of you, and you walked right past them? Archbishop Greg takes us through a familiar parable and an old story of two brothers and a bowl of stew to ask what it actually looks like to pay attention. Let's listen.
This chapter 25, beginning at the 19th verse. These are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham fathered Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah, the daughter of Bethuel, the Aramean of Padam Aram, the sister of Laban, the Aramean, to be his wife. And Isaac prayed to the Lord for his wife, because she was barren. And the Lord granted his prayer, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. The children struggled together within her, and she said, "If it is thus, why is this happening to me?" So she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said to her, "Two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you shall be divided. The one shall be stronger than the other. The older shall serve the younger." When her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. The first came out all red, all his body like a hairy cloak. So they called him Esau. Afterward, his brother came out with his hand holding Esau's heel. So his name was called Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when she bore them. When the boys grew up, Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field, while Jacob was a quiet man, dwelling in tents. Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Once when Jacob was cooking stew, Esau came in from the field, and he was exhausted. And Esau said to Jacob, "Let me eat some of that red stew, for I am exhausted." Therefore, his name was called Edom. Jacob said, "Sell me your birthright now." Esau said, "I am about to die. Of what use is a birthright to me?" Jacob said, "Swear to me now." So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and lentil stew, and he ate and drank and rose and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. The word of the Lord.
The second reading is a reading from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, beginning in chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in us. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in us. The word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat alongside the sea, and great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach, and he told them many things in parables, saying, A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil, but when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while, and when tribulation or persecution arise on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. This is the gospel of Christ.
I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, first off, I'd like to say what a delight it is to be here to share this service with you all, and to be back here in beautiful St. George's amidst the Rockies. As we were driving in this morning, I was noting yet again that it's amazing how many different ways you can see the mountains, depending on exactly where the sun is in the sky, exactly the air conditions, exactly how much humidity is in the air. It was really beautiful this morning in a different way than it's been from other times. So always a delight and a joy. Thinking about that as driving in and noticing, you know, how things are different and how we view them different times, puts me in mind of the gospel reading that we had, that we just literally just heard. I was looking at the readings we have today, and every once in a while we get these readings where you get three huge readings where you feel like you really should just, we should just all settle in and have a good conversation for an hour and talk about, you know. Were any, when you were hearing the Old Testament reading, was anybody a firstborn? Any firstborn here? Yeah. How many of you were going, yeah, and the young one gets it again, special treatment. Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. It goes way back. Yeah. I'm not saying God meant it to be that way. I'm just saying it goes way back. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. But the reading that we had today from the gospel, I remember when I was in seminary, they had a particular way of interpreting things in that particular era of time. We'll put it that way. And so the interpretation of this was to say, this was written by Matthew, you know, after the church had been founded, and the Christians were all very puzzled by the fact that when they preached the gospel, some people heard and, you know, or would walk away without even registering, and some people would hear it and get all excited, and then they would vanish, and other people would sort of come part of the church, and then they would leave after a while because of things, and there was just that few who remained afterwards, and that's why they had that story to tell everybody. And, you know, there's some piece of truth that's in that. But as I was pondering it, I was thinking, remembering, does anybody know the name Thomas Merton, famous monk and theologian as well? I guess we'd call him. He was a monk, but he was a theologian. And he wrote a book called New Seeds of Contemplation. And one of the chapters, the title came from one of the chapters. And he talked about something that those of us who have seasonal allergies would really resonate with. He talked about New Seeds of Contemplation. He talked about the image of how in the air, which always looks clear to us because that's what our eyes see, but there's always, at least in most times of the year, there are seeds blowing through. Sometimes we call it pollen. Those of us who have allergies to certain things know that it's pollen, but it's seeds, right? It's seeds. And that they're just always blowing through everywhere. And that the vast majority, the huge majority of it, we don't ever see or notice. And the vast majority of it that blows through, nothing comes of it, at least not to our seeing it or understanding of it. But he said, you know, that's an image of what goes on in our lives with God. He said, God is constantly blowing seeds for our souls and our minds and our hearts. Seeds of contemplation is the way he was, the expression he was using it, but meaning things that are meant to find good soil in our hearts and to spring up and grow. And yet we are oblivious. And so, for example, you need some bread. You get in the car, you drive to the grocery store, you go in, you pick up the bread, you go to the cashier, you pay for your food, you get in the car, you drive home, and you've got bread. But along the way, did you see any of the opportunities that God was presenting to you, that the things that God might have been showing you if you had had your eyes open to what was going on? And so he said, you know, always there's things like just constantly God is present, God is speaking to us, God is calling us. And we go oblivious through the world for most of it. And every once in a while, we wake up and go, oh, wait, that was something. Well, thinking about the parable of the sower today, and it's good that we get both parts, the actual parable and then the description that comes a little just slightly later. We skipped over a piece of scripture to get there. And we have these three things. Four different places that Jesus goes with it. And he says, you know, a sower goes out and sows seed, and some falls on the bare path. And it's hard, can't grow. So it just springs up and then, or it doesn't even spring up. The birds come and eat it before anything can happen. It's just gone. There's no response. Second one falls amongst the rocks, springs up quickly, but, there's no roots or soil or anything. So when the sun comes out, it just withers away. Third one, of course, falls amongst thorns. So when it starts to grow up, it gets choked. And the thorns grow up and choke it to death. And so it dies. And then, of course, the fourth one, which is bears all sorts of fruit. Well, of course, we could say, you know, there's something maybe to the fact that some people do don't ever hear the gospel. They're oblivious. It just goes past them over their head. Nothing ever happens. And that there are some people for whom they hear it and they say, hey, that sounds really good. And it lasts about, you know, till the next day when they wake up and realize that, you know, maybe it was something they ate, who knows, whatever. And then there are those amongst whom that, oh yeah, this is really good. But then of course life happens and stuff, you know, if somebody comes to faith and they start coming to church, and then the next thing you know, well, there was a thing on Sunday and I couldn't get there, and normally I would have done my prayers this morning, but I was late, and then there's something else that happened, and then over time, you know, I've got all these other concerns, I don't really have time, and you know, it happens, right? And then of course the great one at the end. But I want to say, I think all of that happens to all of us every day. I think it happens to us, all of us, every day, that God is, in fact, as Thomas Merton would say, sowing seeds every single day, casting the seeds before us. And that, frankly, for a lot of it, it just goes over the head or around the side or under the feet or wherever it would be, and we don't have any response to it whatsoever. And we don't even notice it going on. It just, we just walk through and we didn't see it. But I also think there are times in which we read something. Has anybody ever, you know, picked up a really good book, a spiritual book, and you've read something or you've read a passage of scripture and you just go, wow, that's life-changing. And by 2 days later, the life-changing idea has had absolutely no impact on you and you've forgotten that you read it. Anybody? Yeah. How many times does that happen? Hey, where you, oh, that is brilliant. I'm gonna. Well, nowadays we've facilitated in this because if you saw it online, I'm going to put a bookmark on that. How many people ever go back to their bookmarks? Yeah. Oh, you do. Okay. There's a couple people who go back to their bookmarks. Yeah. Every once in a while. But how much of the time do we look at something, we get excited about it, we think about it for a day or two, or maybe even a week, and then it's gone and it's had next to no impact on us at all. And how often do we have heard something and it's been an important part of our lives and we can look back and say, yes, it was. But then we can also look back and say, where did that go? What happened with that? And we realize that we've been taken up by cares, concerns, worries, other demands on our time, things that at the moment seem urgent, but probably weren't. The cares of the world, the thorns of that one which is trying to grow, and how we can so easily cultivate the thorns rather than the wheat. Yeah. And thank God that also, of course, there are those seeds that get to grow up, and that God bears fruit in our lives. And in fact, we can. Well, sometimes we don't even know it has happened. Actually, I don't know if you've recognized that, but sometimes you realize years later when somebody comes up and says, you know, you said a thing back in 1994 and it's really stuck with me and it's been really important. Or you realize that a thing that you used to do or an attitude that you used to have suddenly realize, oh, where did that go? It died along the way. And I've realized that I'm more patient, or that I am more attuned to, what I should be attuned to. So I think that gospel reading is just such a profound one to sort of reflect on in terms of our lives. But I think when we look at that, it also then gets down to the nitty gritty too of the stuff that, you know, because you know where it really is important? It's the stuff that drives us crazy. It's the stuff that we hate. It's the stuff that makes us go, right? And so, you know, I think Esau had a case, really. I mean, Jacob was a little brat. I mean, really, right? He was being a brat. He, you know, I got this food. The guy comes in hungry. Oh, you got to sell me your birthright. Okay. Yeah, he's being a, you know. Esau, on the other hand, however, was not about to die. A bit of a drama queen, don't you think? I mean, he walked in on his own 2 feet, and I'm about to die unless you give me that stew. Come on. Right? I think there's humor in the story, I got to say. I think there's humor. This is a serious story. It's a serious story of call. But it actually, there's a bit of humor in it as well. I'm about to die. Oh, give me the stew. And then, of course, the consequences of his despising his birthright. But if you think about it, here's one of those moments, right? Here's one of those moments in life where, you know, if Esau had been paying a little bit more attention, he would have said, I have a birthright. I have a birthright, and I have a direction that I'm supposed to be going, and that's what's most important, and I can sure as heck do another few hours or day without food for the value of this birthright as the son of Jacob and the grandson of Abraham, but he didn't. You would say those were fast-growing thorns that grew up around what he was doing and took him out. But you can see that what's going on there is this is a very understandable story for the, you know, it's, you can see that something like this could happen. And yet here they are walking through and, you know, Jacob could have been nicer, but Esau could have been attending to what's important. He could have been attending to what's important. Now, if we think about what Paul's talking about in his letter to the Romans, living according to the Spirit rather than according to the flesh, what does that mean? To live according to the Spirit rather than according to the flesh. Well, I think that's exactly what's going on, right? That's exactly what we see with Esau and Jacob. They're both kind of living according to the flesh a little bit, but Jacob actually gets that the birthright is important, that this is the story, that this is the big deal. And Esau is living according to the flesh. He's letting just the impulse of the moment carry him along and make his decisions for him. Now, anybody? No, I won't. No hands up. Anybody ever found themselves making decisions according to the, you know, the urges of the moment as opposed to the big picture?
No, not us. Never do that. No. Well, I would say I do. I do.
But what Paul's saying to us is that when we focus on Jesus, when we are being attentive to our faith in Jesus Christ, when we are prayerfully being open to the Holy Spirit, then everything changes. Our vision changes, our hearing changes, our seeing changes in the sense that all of a sudden those invisible seeds in the air start to become visible to us. We start to see things that we would have walked by just moments before, but because now we're listening for what is God doing? What is the Holy Spirit doing? What is Jesus calling us to do in this moment? Asking the question, then we start to see the opportunities. And we start to see what God could actually be doing in our lives in terms of growing in us what God wants us to become, growing in us a deeper love for God and for our neighbor. Recognizing that as we walk through this life, we have a birthright. And it doesn't matter whether you're the firstborn, secondborn, thirdborn, fourthborn. In this case, God's election is any born. As long as you are born of God in Jesus through the power of the Spirit. And so this being born to the Spirit changes how we see and we walk differently in life. And so we're able to grasp, to accept, to open ourselves to the moments by which the Spirit can change us, where we can be walking according to the Spirit, not according to the flesh. Not get sidetracked off the path with the little things, that we can know that we have a birthright, which is to be, in fact, the daughters and sons of God through Jesus. And so when you hear that story of Esau and Jacob the next time, I hope you don't just sort of think, okay, Jacob was a jerk and Esau was irresponsible. But it's a reminder that in some ways we all have something going on in our lives at the time. We can be responding to the moment of the flesh, what's being offered to us, or we can understand that we have a birthright. We can be responding to our fleshly urges and our warped priorities that come from a world which wants to present us with all sorts of other things, or we can be prayerfully listening to where the Spirit is guiding us. And in all things, we can be trusting that the stuff that is coming through our lives pretty much always is something to do with what God is about and what God wants from us and what God is doing. Can we be those who bear the 100-fold, the 50-fold, the 30-fold, or no, 160, 30, I think. Anyways, whatever the numbers were, can we be those in whom the abundant harvest starts to be realized? Because we are attentive, because we know our birthright, because we are living according to the Spirit, we're allowing God to work in us. And so I pray that God will stir again in our hearts, open our eyes, our ears, to be able to see the seeds of His love moving through our lives and to respond with faith and a faith that endures. Amen.
Thank you for listening. God is sowing seeds in your life every single day. Most of them pass us by unseen. Some take root and wither the moment life gets hard. But when we live according to the Spirit, our eyes open. We start to notice what God is doing and where He's calling us. You have a birthright. Don't trade it for a bowl of stew. Join us Sundays at 10 a.m. in Banff or visit stgeorgebanff.com. Keep your eyes open this week. God is still sowing.